بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. I think, and I could be mistaken. Oh, this is something else. Okay. Okay. I sent some notes today to the class. I don't know if anybody got those notes. You were unable to? Okay, let's do this. I have some notes here that I printed out for the class. If there's any sister here that is taking level 3 fiqh, then we have to make sure that we send some notes to the sisters, and the rest we'll give to the brothers. Okay? So I don't know if there are any sisters here right now, if any sisters staying for this class, but if they are, inshallah, we'll send them also a copy of these notes. I was rushing to copy these notes today, and so I may have copied the pages on front and back upside down. Huh? Yeah. Jazakallah khair. Now, what are you saying, Abu Bakr? It's not legible? Okay, I should have sent a PDF file. But honestly, I was rushing. For sure, I was rushing. And because of me rushing, you know, I normally send a PDF file for that reason, because sometimes the Word file, when you send it by email, it gets messed up. Yeah, it gets messed up. So the PDF file, I'll send, inshallah, in the future. But for now, they don't need. Okay, so for now, whoever wants to follow maybe part of this lesson in Arabic, okay, these notes are Arabic notes. There's no English notes for this. But anyway, if we go through these notes, if we go through them, then we're going to explain them, right? So let's leave it here for now in case we don't reach it. Maybe we won't even do this. I don't know. Huh? How many people we have here right now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay. Somebody help me with this. Two people. Don't take that one. Take this one. Somebody take one and somebody take the other. Okay, so let me see who has the first page. You have the first page. And then on the back is the second page, and then he has the third and fourth page. Okay, so give everybody one of them. The first page that Abdulaziz has given you is the first page of this of these notes. And the second page that Abdul Hadi has given you is the second page of these notes. Okay. As far as those who are following us online, inshallah, we'll send the PDF file out again. I mean, we'll send out the notes again on PDF file, so whoever wants to follow them in Arabic, then at least they can see them in the future. Okay, time is upon us now. Let us quickly go to our topic. Did we officially open up? I don't think so. Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Okay, today inshallah we obviously are reading from our lessons in Arabic language, level 3 fiqh, Islamic University of Medina Arabic Language Institute, level 3 fiqh. We're not going to be reading from the level 3 fiqh book today. We read the notes from it last week, and we read some other secondary sources last week. And today, what remained was the notes from Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, which we wanted to read from fiqh al-ibadat, but we ran out of time. So today, we're going to read the notes from fiqh al-ibadat, and if there's still time left, then I want to read some notes from Sheikh al-Albani, which, yani, these are notes that we didn't read from last week, which actually gives some further clarification concerning this particular issue. Okay, what is the topic that we're dealing with? Zakat related to merchandise that is intended for sale. Urud at-tijara. Merchandise that's intended for sale. The majority of the scholars said that merchandise that's intended for sale What are the rules concerning it? The majority of the scholars. We did do it last week, but we didn't finish last week. We never read the notes from Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, from Fiqh Al-Ibadat. Okay, so last week, one of our references was Fiqh Al-Ibadat, page 218, 19, and 20. We didn't get a chance to read it. So we said we're going to finish it this week. And in the process of finishing it, if we have time, we may read some other notes that further clarify the issue from Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahumullah. Okay, so last week we said that the majority of scholars hold the view that the zakat, or merchandise intended for sales, is what? It's fard?
No.
The majority of scholars said that there is zakat on merchandise that's intended for sale. What are the rules concerning that zakat? Okay, when it's sold, some of them said, that was the minority view. The majority view was that? The majority view, let me help you. It's like zakat on mal. It's 2.5%. That's one thing they said. It's 2.5%. They said it has to be kept for 1 year. After it's 1 year. Not when it's sold, but after 1 year. You have to have it in possession 1 year. And the third thing they said? Nisab. It has to meet the nisab. It has to reach the nisab. Has to be kept for 1 year. And then the zakat rate is 2.5%. That's the view of the majority of the scholars. That's what we discussed last week. We read a little bit of notes from Sheikh Al-Albani for the opposing view, the minority view, and he said there's no clear text proving what? Proving that the zakat or merchandise intended for sale requires a hawl or requires a nisab or that its rate is 2.5%. Okay, be clear. That what the minority is saying, they're not saying it's not taxable. They're not saying that there's no zakat. But they're saying that it doesn't have to be held for 1 year. It doesn't have to reach a minimum nisab. And the rate is not fixed at 2.5%. Why? Because, as Sheikh Al-Albani said, there's no definitive, clear, yani sarih, or authentic, sahih, dalil in the book or the sunnah or ijma'ah. For any of these points, that it has to reach a nisab, that it has to be kept for 1 year, and that the rate of zakat is 2.5%. That's the minority view. Okay, we read some athar which support the fact that it doesn't require that it be held for 1 year, and that do not mention yani the 2.5%. Or nisab. Okay? So those narrations that we read last week support the idea that the nisab, this stipulation of nisab, and the rate of zakat of 2.5%, and the requirement that it be kept for 1 year, these are stipulations that do not have a textual, clear textual proof. Rather this is qiyas or ijtihad. Okay? That is the point of difference of the minority scholars. They're saying there's no proof for these stipulations. They're not saying there's no zakat, but there's no stipulation that it has to reach a nisab, or that it has to be kept for 1 year, or that the rate is 2.5%. Okay, before we go any further, we want to just like summarize what we talked about last week, a majority view and a minority view. We concentrated mainly on the majority view, which said that the zakat is obligatory on merchandise intended for sale. If a person intends to sell it, it's intended for sale, and the person has merchandise, its value is above the nisab of gold and silver, and they kept it for 1 year, then it will be, yani the zakat will be at the rate of 2.5%. That was the majority view. Today we want to look at what supports the majority view from the writing of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, and if we have time, yani what supports the minority view? But if we have a lot of sidebar yani discussions, we're not going to finish again this week. Huh? We already got them out of the way. We just clarified what we talked about last week. Yani, if it's critical to the discussion that we had, not side points, a point that we discussed that's not clear. Okay, first, Abdul Halim, give your question. What is your question about what's not clear from what we discussed?
No, ijtihad.
Okay, they're not the same. Qiyas is a type of ijtihad. But qiyas is a specific type of ijtihad. So the qiyas comes in here, why? Because the majority scholars are making qiyas on wealth and gold and silver, money, currency. They're making a qiyas on merchandise. They're saying they're similar. They're saying they're similar. Why? Because the person who buys merchandise to sell, he intends money for it. That's his intent. He doesn't intend to keep the merchandise. He intends to buy it with his money to sell it for money. So it's money. That's the qiyas. But is there proof in the Quran or in the Sunnah that this qiyas is legitimate qiyas? That's the problem. Okay, what's your question?
My question is that, because you said that the minority could be said that there is, they're not saying there is no zakat, but they're saying that they don't agree on the
on these stipulations.
But
zakat is general, like every type of wealth has zakat on it. Everybody who has wealth has to give zakat. But give whatever you feel good about giving. Yani, if there's no stipulation that you have to give, if you have so many cows or cattle or crops that you have to give a certain amount, then the zakat that's due on your wealth is up to you, how you feel. Give as much as you like. That's what they're saying. That it's not, there's no stipulation for this amount. Rather, a person, whatever who has wealth, merchandise even, they should give zakat from it. According to the general rule, that the Prophet, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, take sadaqah from them to purify themselves. لِيُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. Yani, so that the person purifies themselves by giving that zakat. But in what amount? Whatever they feel like giving. Whatever they feel good about giving.
And if they don't want to give, okay.
If they don't feel good to give, that's up to them. But there is zakat. No, there is zakat. If they don't give, they're going to answer.
But what I understood from the view of Sheikh Albani is that it's not mandatory. Whoever want to give...
It's not mandatory in this way that has been stipulated by the majority of the scholars. It's not mandatory in that way. Inshallah, we're going to clarify it today. Be it crystal clear, inshallah, today.
But if you have goods, let's say someone has goods you bought.
Yeah.
And you pay zakat for it, but you haven't bought any more goods. Do you pay for that every year, but you have your goods for years and years and years?
If a person has merchandise that's intended for sale, then they have to give zakat on it as much as they will. Doesn't matter. It's not every year. Whenever they have it. You have it right now. You don't have to wait 1 year. That's what we're saying. The minority view is it doesn't require you to estimate how much goods you have and at the end of the year you have to give zakat. No. And you have wealth. A person, he's a merchant. He has merchandise. He has $10,000 in merchandise. According to the majority view, he has to give 2.5%, which is equivalent to how much? Yani is equivalent to about $250. $250. He has $10,000 of merchandise. He has to give $250, according to the majority view. The minority scholars are saying, no, he doesn't. Give whatever you want to give from that. Give whatever you want to give. $25, $250, $500. If you have $10,000, you might want to give more than $250. You don't have to wait for 1 year. You don't have to have a minimum amount. Give whatever your heart is content with. But that's not the end of it. There's a reasoning for that, for the minority view. That if we have a chance today, we're going to get to. But if we don't have a chance, we won't get to.
I hope we're going to have it.
Now?
That's what I'm trying to find out.
No problem.
Keep paying on it.
Yeah.
Like, that's not every year.
You don't have to keep paying on it. You don't have to pay on it in the first place. Whatever you feel good about. Whatever you want to give, give. If you have wealth, that's for merchandise. You don't have to give it every year. No, because it's not the minority view is not related to the year. The majority view says yes. Every year, at the end of the year, you have to estimate how much merchandise you have and you have to give zakat at the rate of 2.5% on the total amount of merchandise you have every year, according to the majority view. But today we want to talk about the minority view. But before we do that, we want to clarify the majority view, summarize it, since it was a week ago, and look at some of the evidences so that we see, do they have any basis? Obviously, they have some basis. The majority of the scholars are taking this view. They didn't just make it up. Okay? But there are two views, and we want to see both sides. Okay, so if a person that has merchandise, according to the majority view, if their merchandise reached the nisab, and they had it for a whole year, they have to give zakat from the total amount at 2.5%. every year after a year passes over it. Every year. Every year. That's the majority view. If somebody could give me that attendance sheet there. Okay, so as far as the majority view, it would be the same as gold and silver or currency. Every year, the person who has the minimum nisab and they kept their wealth above the minimum nisab for a whole year, every time another year goes by, they have to give zakat on whatever they have that's above the nisab, on the total amount, at a rate of 2.5%. The majority of scholars are making qiyas, saying just like that, merchandise is the same rule. Same rule. It's above the minimum, you kept it for 1 year, you have to give on the total amount, 2.5% of it, every time a year passes over it. They're saying it's the same as that, by qiyas. Okay, but let's look at the majority view, as Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen mentions, and some of the evidences that they use, and then let's look at the other side as well, and perhaps it will become a little bit more clear. In any case, look, ultimately in the end, right, these matters about which there's difference of opinion, your heart may not be content with one view or the other. But the point is to be familiar. What are they saying and why are they saying this? What are these people saying and why are they saying it? And then you have to examine it and know that you will stand before Allah. And with in consciousness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to question you about this, you have to do what's right. What you believe to be right. If you believe the majority view is right, you have to act according to that. If you believe the minority's view is right, you have to act according to that. But the minority view is not saying you don't give anything. It's just saying it's not like this way that they fixed it. That it has to reach a nisab. That it has to be held for 1 year. That the rate is 2.5%. They're saying we don't agree with that. Because there's no proof, no textual proof, clear, definitive, authentic text to support those restrictions or stipulations. That's what they're saying. They're not saying there's no zakat on a person who has $1 million worth of merchandise. But they're saying Allah has a greater wisdom intended for it, and that's why these restrictions are not applicable to it. Tayyib, we're going to read from Fiqh al-Ibadat by Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, which we didn't get a chance to read last week, page 218, 219, and 220. Well, we might not read all of that, but we're going to read at least 218 in the beginning of 219. The Shaykh, he says, under the book of Zakat, al-Rabi'u, and he mentioned the first three types of wealth that zakat is applicable to them. Cows, camels, animals, right? Crops, that are harvested. And the third one, gold and silver, or currencies that take their place. Now he says, Arabiyu, the fourth type of wealth that has stipulations in the Sharia for tax upon it. This suggests to us that all other types of wealth are not stipulated by these regulations. Does it mean that other types of wealth a person doesn't give from it? Whoever has wealth should give charity. But it's not stipulated in the Sharia how or how much. It's left to you to give it to your heart's content. A person who has iman and fear of Allah and has hope for the akhirah is going to give more than a person who has love for the dunya and that which he possesses in this world. Who's going to give little, if anything at all. The Shaykh says, Arabia. Urud at-tijara, merchandise that is intended for trade to be sold. Wa urud at-tijara hiya al-amwal allati 'inda al-insan yuridu biha at-takassub. What is urud at-tijara? It is the wealth, the different types of wealth which a person possessed and they intend by it at-takassub, to earn, gain, benefit, profit from it. They intend to buy and sell in order to get a profit. Takassub. ولا تختص بنوع معين من الأموال. And it is not particular to any particular type of wealth. عروض التجارة is in reference to any kind of wealth that a person has that they intend for trade. It's not specific to certain types of merchandise. Rather, it includes كل ما أراد به الإنسان التكسب. Everything that a person intended to get a gain or a profit from it. من أي نوع كان من المال. No matter what type of wealth it is. ففيه الزكاة. Then there's zakat upon it. No matter if it is إقارا. Properties like buildings or houses. or hayawan and animals, or mamlukan min al-adamiyin, or human beings that are enslaved, or cars, or yani aqmisha, yani what do you call it, like fabric, cloth, like cloth merchant sells, or utensils, or yani things, yani ithr, yani tib, yani oils, scent, yani sweet smelling scents, or other than that, whatever it may be. Sheikh is just giving examples of different kind of things that people have that they intend to use for merchandising. Al-Muhim, whatever has been set aside or prepared by a person for tijara, wa takassub, for buying and selling and making a profit, then there's zakat upon it. Then he says, the dalil. What is the evidence? Wa dalilu dhalika umumu qawlihi ta'ala. Yani the proof of this is the generality of the statement of Allah the Most High. Now the first proof, what? Is the umum qawlihi ta'ala. Notice that the Shaykh says the general meaning. This is not a specific proof for zakat on any particular wealth, not urud tijara or anything else. This is a general statement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The general meaning of it is that wealth is yani subject to zakat. And the reason why I'm saying that is because the Shaykh, he said umum. And umum doesn't mean khas, that this is a specific dalil for merchandise. But it's a general dalil for wealth of whatever type of person has. Everybody who has wealth has to give zakat. But there's certain types of wealth that the zakat on it is specified by time, by amount, by nisab, and like this. And there's other type of wealth that's just generally, yani a person should give zakat from it. So the first evidence is the general evidence. وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌ مَعَلُومٌ لِلسَّائِلِ والمحروم. Surah Ma'arij. I think it's Surah 70. Yeah. Ma'arij 70? Yeah. Ayah 24 and 25. And those who fi amwalihim haqqun, there's a right, haqq, a right, an obligation that is ma'alum, that is known upon their wealth. There's an obligation, a right that others have upon their wealth. Those who, in their wealth, there's a right which is well known, lissa'ili, for the one who asks. Yani who begs, who asks for help. Wal mahroom, and the person who has been deprived, whose means are straitened, who doesn't have much. They have a what? Haqqun ma'loom. This is a general evidence that whoever has wealth, there are people who have a well-known right that you give them some of your wealth. That's zakat. How much you give, how you give all of that? Well, there's certain types of wealth. According to the majority of scholars, four types of wealth. And we have discussed all of them, including this merchandise that has specific stipulations, regulations. And all other wealth come under the general meaning of this. The minority view is that merchandise comes under this generally, that it's not specified like the first three types. Because there's no textual proof in the Quran, nor in the Sunnah, nor Ijma, specifically specifying these regulations for urud al-tijara, merchandise intended for sale. That's the minority view. Majority view is that yes, it comes under the categories of wealth that has specific stipulations on how it is to be fulfilled. The Shaykh says, second evidence, وَقَوْلُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي حَدِيثِ مُعَاذِ بِنْ جَبَلُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ هِنَ بَعَثَهُ إِلَى الْيَمِنِ. Yani the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, may Allah be pleased with him, when he missioned him to Yemen, he said, أَعْلِمْهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهِ افْتَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَدَقَةً فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ تُؤْخَذُ مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ فَتُرَدُّ عَلَى فُقَرَائِهِمْ. And I'm emphasizing him because it has some meaning here. The Prophet ﷺ told Mu'adh, amongst other instructions, he said, teach them, inform them that Allah has made obligatory, افْتَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَدَقَةً, a sadaqa upon their wealth, which is to be taken from their rich people and given to their poor and returned to their poor people. And what is indicated here, according to some of the scholars, أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ فَتُرَدُّ عَلَى فُقَرَائِهِمْ, is that the people, the rich people that is taken from, it is to be given to their poor people, meaning in their land, not in another land. The poor people in that land have a right to the wealth of the rich people in that land. Not that other people can't be helped, but they have first right. Fuqara'ihim have the first right to the wealth from their agniyaihim. This is a general evidence as well. How do we know that? Because when the Prophet ﷺ sent the people to Yemen, he also gave some instructions. Don't take from certain type of wealth. Only take from this, that, and this, and the other, which we mentioned previously when we were dealing with what? Crops. Huh? Crops that are harvested. So this is a general evidence that Allah has made obligatory the sadaqah on the rich people's wealth, that they give some of it to the poor. The specification of how much or how it is done, there has to be some proof. There's proof for cattle and sheep and goats and crops and gold and silver and currencies. Is there any proof for tijara? That's the dispute. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. But that's the disputed area. But this is a general proof that whoever has wealth, there is zakat upon it. It's just, is it general, mutlaq, that they give whatever they want? Or is it specified that they have to give a minimum amount, like 2.5% or so many cows or so many sheep or so much of their crops? The Shaykh then says, that's the second evidence. Third evidence, فَالْأَصْلُ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وُجُوبَ الزَّكَاةِ إِلَّا مَا دَلَّ عَلَيْهِ الدَّلِيلِ. Now this statement here requires some examination. We don't have time to examine it carefully today, but I want you to pay attention to it. If you have the PDF file for this book, Fiqh al-Ibadat, Shaykh al-Thaymeen, this statement I want you to examine carefully. فَالْأَصْلُ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وُجُوبَ الزَّكَاةِ. That the original ruling concerning all types of wealth is that zakat is obligatory. إِلَّا مَا دَلَّ عَلَيْهِ الدَّلِيلِ. Except that which an evidence proves otherwise, that there's no zakat on it. Okay, so the original rule is that all wealth is yani subject to zakat. The problem here is all wealth subject to zakat according to the principle of 2.5%, according to 1 year, according to nisab, or only those types of wealth that this stipulation is narrated in reference to it, has a proof for it? That's the issue here that we want to look at. The asl, we agree all wealth is subject to zakat. But at what rate though? If there's a rate in the sharia specifying the rate, we have to follow it. If there's no rate, then it's up to you to give as much as your heart yani is content with. Sheikh Al-Albani last time, which we hopefully clarify yani as we go along, he is saying that the rule is Al-Hurma.
Yeah,
but he's saying Hurma in reference to the stipulations that they are making. He's not saying Hurma in reference to the general rule of Zakat. Okay? You get the point? In other words, Sheikh Al-Albani is saying, yani he's saying that wealth is protected, it's hurma, it's sacred, unless there's a specification on that wealth in a certain way. Otherwise, sure, whoever has wealth has to give something, but the specification that they have to give 2.5% or a certain amount, that requires a proof. That's what he's saying. Sheikh Uthaymeen is saying pretty much the same thing, but he's saying it in a different way. He's saying all wealth is subject to zakat, and he's also saying that merchandise is subject with these stipulations. Sheikh Al-Albani is saying all wealth may be subject to zakat, but only if there's a stipulation that proves that it's at a certain rate. Okay, so this requires some examination. These two statements require some examination. And they are not really opposed here on the principle that a person's wealth is sacred unless it's stipulated. They are not opposed on that. Where they are different on, are these stipulations applicable to urud al-tijara? That's where they differ. But as far as yani wealth is subject to zakat, everybody who's wealthy is supposed to give something to the poor. Haqqun ma'loom. Allah says that in the Quran. It's a right that's well known. The third evidence the Shaykh mentions, وَلِقَوْلِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. That indeed, verily, actions are judged by intentions. And every person will have that which he intended. Here the Shaykh intends to mean by this proof here that if a person intends by merchandise that it is their money that they intend to buy and sell to make money, then that intention makes it subject to the same rules as regular money. That's what he means by this proof here. You know, that this is a proof that intention is required in order for merchandise to be subject to the zakat. If a person intends to sell, he doesn't intend, he's not buying it to keep it because he may use it in the future. Even if he doesn't use it, but he intends to use it at some point, maybe in the future. That he, the majority is saying that there's no zakat on that. But if he intends to sell it, and he bought it in order to sell it, so he intends this merchandise as wealth that he's buying for a certain amount and hopefully selling it for a great amount. He's just exchanging it. This money for this money. It's really his money. That's the intent. That's what he's using this proof, this hadith as a proof for. وَصَابِعُ عُرُوت, and then the proof of it, he says, because the one who has this merchandise, indeed he only intends the value of the merchandise. قِيمَةُ الْعُرُوت. That's what his intent is, the value of it, the money value of it. He doesn't have any need for it, or any other objective for the merchandise in and of itself. Huh? Really what he intends by it is its monetary value. It's money to him. His merchandise is his money. And likewise, he said, the proof of this, that this is what his intent is that أَنَّهُ يَشْتَرِي السِّلْعَ فِي أَوَّلِ النَّهَارِ فَإِذَا رَبِحَتْ فِي آخِرِ النَّهَارِ بَاعَهَا. That he buys some merchandise in the beginning of the day, and if it became profitable, meaning its price, its value raised by the end of the day, he immediately sells it. He's not going to keep it even for one day. If its value rose, he's going to sell it. That's the proof that his intent is not the merchandise itself, but the money value of it. This is not like the person who al-muqtani lis-sal'a, some property or some merchandise that he intends to keep, to possess for his own personal use. He keeps it with him, no matter if its value rises or decreases. He's not looking at the value of it in the market. He doesn't care how high it goes. This he intends to keep for himself. This is different. So, if the intent of the one who owns this merchandise, is the qima, it's monetary value. If that's the intent, وَهِيَ الذَّهَبُ وَالْفِضَّةُ أَوْ مَا جَرَى مَجْرَاهُمَا. Yani, if what is intended by the one who possessed this merchandise is its value, yani in gold and silver or whatever takes the place of gold and silver, if that's what his intent is, then the Prophet ﷺ said, indeed actions are judged by intentions, every person will have that which he intended. In that case, then we say, by qiyas, it's just like gold and silver, it's like money, and therefore it comes under the same rules that have been stipulated for gold and silver and money. One more argument the Shaykh makes, وَلِأَنَّنَا. Final argument, وَلِأَنَّنَا. لَوْ قُلْنَا بِعَدَمْ وُجُوبَ الزَّكَاةِ فِي الْعُرُودِ لَسَقَطَتْ الزَّكَاةِ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ مِنْ أَمْوَالِ التُّجَّارِ لِأَنَّ غَالِبْ أَمْوَالِ التُّجَّارِ الَّتِي يَتَّجِرُونَ بِهَا إِنَّمَا هِيَ عُرُودَ التِّجَارَةِ. He said, and also, finally, an argument. It's not a textual proof. It's a rational argument. That if we were to take the position that there's no obligatory zakat on merchandise, then the zakat from much of the wealth of the merchants would have fallen. It would have escaped. Because most of the wealth of the merchants, yani, is what they are trading with. That is the merchandise that's intended for sale. Yani, the merchants, most of their wealth is in their merchandise. So if we said that there's no obligatory zakat or merchandise that's intended for sale, then much of their wealth, most of it being in their merchandise, would have escaped from, yani, being subject to zakat. The Shaykh says these are the four types of wealth that are obligatory zakat, and the scholars differed concerning other things, and he went into some discussion about another matter. And then he goes on to say, he mentions some other things. I'll summarize it now because, yani, this is the core of what he said concerning this. And he finished with that, and then he said, yani, this is the four types of wealth. Yani, the last of them being merchandise. And then he went in to discuss some secondary matters like honey, and things like this, where there's difference of opinion amongst the scholars concerning it.
Did the Sheikh mention how to take it?
He didn't mention it. But he mentioned something. Okay, let me just read one point that he mentions in this secondary topic that follows immediately. One of the points that he makes here is that all other wealth, he said, yani, all other wealth is not subject to stipulated zakat. Is not subject to stipulated zakat. He said, لِأَنَّ هَذِي الْأَشْيَاءَ ما عدا الأصناف الأربعة السابقة, because all of these other things, other than the four topics that we have discussed, all, listen to what he says here. لأن هذه الأشياء, all the other stuff, other than the four categories, ما عدا الأصناف الأربعة السابقة, except, يعني the four that we have previously discussed, العصل فيها براءة الذمة حتى يقوم الدليل على وجوب. The original rule concerning all other wealth, other than these four, and of course the minority scholars are saying these three, because the fourth one is questionable, is debatable. The original rule is bara'at al-dhimma, that people are free of blame, free of responsibility. حَتَّى يَقُومُ الدَّلِيلُ عَلَى وُجُوبٍ, until there is a proof that proves that it's obligatory for them to give zakat. And this is the argument that Shaykh Albani is saying, that if there's no stipulation in the Quran or the Sunnah, or an ijma for urud al-tijara, then the original rule is that people are not obligated, they're free of giving zakat, unless there's a proof that specifically stipulates the obligation of zakat in these yani parameters. Yani 1 year, minimum nisab, rate of 2.5%. In the absence of that, then the original rule is bara'at al-dhimma. People are free of responsibility, they are free of blame, unless there's a proof indicating that it's obligatory. The Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah says, there is a dalil on that zakat is obligatory in these four categories. What is disputed is the fourth of them. And he said, in the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لَيْسَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِ فِي عَبْدِهِ وَلَا فِي فَرْسِهِ صَدَقَةٌ. Yani the statement of the Prophet that the believer, there's no sadaqah concerning his slave or concerning his horse, meaning property that he possessed which is not intended for trade, rather it's for his own personal possession. فَإِنَّهُ يُدُلُّ عَلَى أَنَّ مَخْتَصَّهُ الْإِنسَانِ لِنَفْسِهِ مِنَ الْأَبْوَالِ غَيْرَ زَكَوِيَّ لَيْسَ فِيهِ صَدَقَةٌ أي لَيْسَ فِيهِ زَكَاةٌ. Yani this means that whatever a person has possessed for their personal use of their wealth, then there's no sadaqah on it, meaning there's no obligatory zakat on what they have intended to keep for their personal wealth. Yani whatever a person intends to use for their personal use, whether it is property, houses, cars, whatever. Even if a person has five cars and they intend them for personal use, not for sale, not for trade, there's no zakat according to these stipulations. Don't worry, don't worry, brother. Your cars are safe. Okay, I know you have a question, and Allahu musta'an. Yani, what we said, okay, minority view and majority view. The majority say that merchandise intended for sale is subject to zakat according to the regulations of gold and silver. That is, it has to be a minimum amount, it has to be kept for 1 year, and the rate of zakat is 2.5%. If, yani, the person intends to sell it. But if a person has merchandise that they don't intend for sale, they just have a lot of merchandise, just have a lot of stuff, they have a lot of coats, and a lot of books, and a lot of shoes, and a lot of cars, it's not intended for sale, it's not subject to these rules. If it's not intended for sale, that's the majority view. In reference to your question, let me just read this, okay, and then we're going to stop here, inshallah. We'll take whatever question you want to have. I'm not going to read the view of Sheikh Al-Albani today. No, I'm not going to read it, inshallah. I'll give you a chance to read it, and next week maybe we can talk about it. But let me just read this, in reference to your question. خرس عروض التجارة. On page 225, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen says, estimating the value of merchandise that's intended for sale. Okay, he indirectly alludes to your question here. This is in summary, quickly. The Shaykh was asked, Fadilatul Shaykh, is it permissible to estimate the value of merchandise intended for sale, yani عروض التجارة, if the person finds difficulty, تعذرة, has difficulty in counting it all exactly, or it is shakka ala tajir, it's very hard. Yani ta'adhara, he's not able to do it, or shakka alayhi, it's difficult, very difficult to do it. Can he then just estimate the value of his merchandise? The Shaykh said, la yajuz kharsuha. It's not permissible to just estimate it, because this estimation was narrated in reference to fruits, vegetables that are stipulated in Sharia. And some scholars said also the zurur, the plants, yani that grow from the earth, yani fruits from the trees and the plants that come from the earth. As far as other types of wealth, it is not possible to estimate their value. And that is because they are of different types, many different types. Yani the fruit on the tree or the crop or the plant that comes from the ground is one type of crop, one type of fruit. You can estimate apples, oranges, grapes, figs, whatever, you can estimate. But merchandise, a person has shoes, he has shirts, he has kitchenware, he has all kind of merchandise in his business. How can he estimate them when they're all different types of wealth and every one of them has a different value? It's not a matter of looking about how much it is, it's probably this amount. Some people are good at doing that. But when it's merchandise, he said, it's not possible to do it. Therefore, the person then has to yataharra mastata'a. And he has to try very hard to seek out the exact amount of it. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. The Shaykh, he says, right, that okay, it's not permissible just to make an estimate, but rather the person has to make every effort to seek out the exact amount to the best of one's ability. يَتَحَرَّ مَسْتَطَاعَ. To the best of his ability, to be exact and precise in its actual value. وَأَنْ يَحْطَاطْ لِنَفْسِهِ. And to take every precaution for himself, meaning to protect himself from being answerable to Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. يَحْطَاطْ لِنَفْسِهِ, meaning that he has to be careful that he doesn't underestimate. Because what? Though he may be saving his money, he will be destroying himself on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So he has to يَحْطَاطْ لِنَفْسِهِ. فَإِذَا قَدَّرَ أن هذه البضاعة تبلغ قيمتها 100 ويحتمل أن تكون 120 فليخرج عن 120 إبراء لذمته. So if the person estimates or they reach the amount, yani that they believe is correct from these goods, that its value is equal to 100 of something, of dollars or pounds or reals or whatever. He estimates, he reaches yani, to the best that he can, that his value is 100, but it is possible, يحتمل أن تكون 120, it's possible his value could be $120 or 120 reals or 120 pounds. Then he must يخرج عن 120. Then he must give zakat based on it being its value 120. إِبْرَاءً لِذِمَّتِهِ, in order to free himself from blame or guilt in reference to the responsibility that is upon him to give this zakat. In this answer, there are two points. Number one, that a person cannot just make a general estimate, rather they have to make every effort according to the best of their ability to know the exact value of their merchandise. And the second point is that they estimate its value. Yeah, Abdul Haq, they estimate its value. If they believe that its value is 100, but it's possible, it really, even after every effort they made, its value is 100. But it's possible it could be a little more, it could be 120. Then they have to yukhrij qimat 120. They have to give the value of 120. Yani in this statement of the Shaykh, there's the hint that the zakat on urud al-tijara is in the amount of its value. Not in the merchandise itself, but the value of the merchandise. Which is what he also hinted at when he said that the person intended the value of the merchandise, not the merchandise itself. Yani, innama al-amal bin-niyat. Did the person intend merchandise that they give in zakat, or did they intend the value of the merchandise? Obviously, they intended the value of it, and the proof of it is, if its value went up, the same day that they bought it, they would get rid of it. Because what they intend by it is money. So it seems as though the rule is that the zakat on urud al-tijara is in its value in money. Its value in money.
But according to the reading, it doesn't seem to me that it is in value in money. Because the value is to find out the value of the merchandise.
No.
And to know the nisab first.
Mm-hmm.
And also you can take it like when you say 2.5%, value from that mention at 2.5%, it doesn't seem to me like it's really...
Type. So if a person has gold or silver in the value of $100,000, do they have to give a chip of their gold, a piece of their gold, or the value of it?
No,
I'm saying, what are we saying, 2.5% of it, meaning a 2.5% chunk of it, or 2.5% of the value of the gold and silver?
Yeah, 2.5 of the gold.
No, that's not what it is. The gold and silver, what is to be given, unless it's in coins, if a person has a gold brick, they're not going to chip the gold brick and try to weigh it until they get a piece that's equal to 2.5% of it, but rather they give the value of it.
Take money, like...
Yani, in the past, the currency was in gold and silver. No. The currency is not in gold and silver now.
Okay, if you have like...
So its value is what is given. Its value is what is given. Yani, it's given in the currency of the people. And that's how come they said that's the argument that they use, that merchandise comes under the same rule of gold and silver, meaning that its value is what is given, the same way as gold and silver. Its value is what is given.
Okay, I have a question about that.
Anybody else have a question?
Yeah, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not saying that it's not possible for the person to give like the value of it in money.
Yeah, okay.
But what I'm saying, the hassle is to give the gold. If you have the gold, you can count it. You can take 2.5% from it to give it. That's the hassle. But you can, if you have the value in money, you wanna give, it's gonna be the same. It's the same. The same goal you're reaching by doing it.
Perhaps. If you have gold coins, and as it was then, dinars and dirhams, then you can give the coins.
Because from what?
But at that time, the coins were the currency. But gold and silver is not the currency today. So when you give the people the zakat, how do they spend it if that's not currency?
The asal
is that you give them the currency that at that time was in gold and silver. If the currency now is not in gold and silver, then when you give them the chip of gold, how do they buy anything? If a poor person wants to buy some food, what are they going to do with this chip of gold?
If you give him the gold, he can get it in exchange.
Yeah, so that means he has to go to some place. Where do you exchange gold at? Right now in New York City, if somebody gave me a piece of gold, what do I do with it? Wallah, I won't be able to eat. I won't know what to do with it. I won't know where to go with it. I won't know how to exchange it. It will be useless to me. It will be useless to me. Perhaps right now I have a piece of gold in my house, a small ball of gold that I had for many, many years. I never got rid of it because I don't know what to do with it. It's useless to me. Yani, it's value. It's real gold. It's worth something, but it's no value to me. I can't go to the store and buy anything with it. I can't buy clothing, shoes, food, nothing.
Okay, so Sheikh, if the person he has the gold, he doesn't have the money.
No. So if it was food and they gave you food, you can eat it.
No.
If it was clothing and they gave you some clothing, you can wear it. But if they gave you a piece of gold, what are you going to do with it?
Okay, I'm going to pass to another question.
He's going to pass? Okay, no. Anybody else have a question first? We have to give somebody else a chance. Yeah, Abdullah. Okay. You're a merchant.
Yeah, I have to pay zakat.
Yeah.
Do I pay the zakat that I have to spend in Trinidad for Trinidad and the women in America?
It's better to. Because the asal is what? That the poor people in the place where the wealth is at, that they be given that zakat. That's the asal. Yani, unless the people in that land are not in need, there are no poor people there, then it should be transferred to the nearest place where the Muslims are, where they are in need. Okay, Murshid.
What if you have family members, they're poor and in a different country, they're
not
wealthy here?
No.
So why is the asal then?
The asal is still the same, that the people in the place where the wealth is at have more right to it. If the wealth is here, these people have more rights. Does this mean that you can't give anything to other people? You could give them. But listen, the zakat, right, depending on what it's upon, right, if it's money, right, the zakat, okay, for family, it depends. Are those families dependent upon you? Are you the person responsible for maintaining them? You can't give them from zakat. If you are the person responsible for maintaining them, you can't give them from zakat. If you are not, then you can give them from zakat. But the people in the land who are poor and needy have more right where the wealth is at. And then after you give the 2.5%, you still have a lot of wealth left. You can give to the people in another land. No problem. It doesn't mean you can't give them anything. This is the bare minimum amount. And the people who have most right to it are the people in the place where the wealth is at. Now, okay, we're going to come back to Abdul Haq, but go ahead. Now, Zakatul Fitr, we're going to come to that topic, inshallah. I don't want to ignore your question, but we don't have any time right now. And the Iqam is upon us, and we're going to discuss the Zakatul Fitr in detail. In detail, inshallah. Now, Abdul Haq.
Really, I want to prolong that discussion, but maybe later. I want to mention something about the saying of the Sheikh. Frankly, I see some contradiction in the statement when he says, because first he said that based on the ayah, وفي أموالهم حق معلوم للسائل
والمسؤول. General.
General.
No.
He said that based on that, there is a general stipulation on zakat, about zakat on everything. That's what he said.
Okay. Any wealth.
Yeah.
Anybody who has
wealth,
meaning they have more than they need.
No, they have what?
So they have to give some of it to the people who are needy.
No.
Okay.
And then the Sheikh comes later on and he says again that except those four categories, we have the bara'un.
Bara'at al-dhimma.
Other than the four categories.
He's saying that, what he means by that, okay, from the whole context, okay? And perhaps when we're having a discussion from one week to the next, we might lose some of the context. But what he means here is that bara' al-asliyah, or bara' al-dhimma, he means that only these four categories have stipulated, regulated zakat. But all wealth is subject to zakat, but not according to those stipulations. So he's saying here that the original rule is bara'at dhimma, means that other wealth are not subject to these specific stipulations, but rather just generally you give something from it.
What's the specific
stipulations of it has to reach a minimum nisab.
But even the third one, there is no stipulation.
The fourth one.
Yeah, the fourth one, there's no stipulation.
Well, they are saying it is stipulated because of qiyas. Naam, qiyas is a legitimate source of law.
Yeah, legitimately, but what about the harder? Why we cannot do qiyas on the other way? Why we cannot do qiyas on the other way?
Because qiyas is based on there being something similar between the two things that there's qiyas between. So he's saying that is that the urud al-tijara, I don't agree with this opinion, but I just want to defend what he said. He said urud al-tijara, the person who possesses it, innama al-amal bil-niyat, their intent is not that tijara. Their intent is the value of it, and that's why they only bought it with the intent to sell it. As soon as the price goes up, they're selling it to get the money, because that's what they intend, money. They don't intend the merchandise. In that sense, he said, their intent is the money, therefore we make qiyas between that and the money. That may not be applicable to every other type of wealth, that a person possesses it just for money. Some people possess diamonds and pearls because they just love precious jewels. They're not buying it to sell it. So the point of the similarity between them that we make the qiyas upon is not applicable to every other kind of wealth. It's not applicable to every other kind of wealth. That's his argument. I don't agree with it. I'm saying I don't agree with this particular point. But, yani, it's a point. It makes sense. That there is some similarity between them. And that, look, when the scholars make qiyas, they look for some similarity. Sometimes that similarity could be strong, sometimes it's not strong. And that's why some scholars differ with the qiyas of other scholars. They said, there's really no real strong similarity between these two things. So they reject it. And other people say, no, it is similar, and so they accept it. So qiyas is something that's subject to the ijtihad of the scholar. Do they see that there's really something to base qiyas on, or there's really nothing to base the qiyas on? So some scholars, the minority, say there's no basis for qiyas here. You are saying there's no basis for qiyas here. So you are with the minority. No problem. You're in good company. Don't worry. You're in good company. But the majority see that there is basis for the majority of the scholars of Islam see that there is a basis for qiyas.
I'm not saying that, for example, the zakat on tijara. My main point is how to take it from how to take. That's my point. But what I was just
okay.
I was just discussing.
But before you go any further, let's make this a point of research. Okay, first you, and then me, and anybody else who wants to join us. Let's research this issue that Abdul Haq is asking now, is there any room for discussion concerning the zakat on tijara? If we agree with the majority view, is there any room for discussing whether or not the merchandise itself can be given, or must only the value be given? That's your question. Okay, we're going to research that issue, okay? But you are first responsible to research it. And then me, second, and then the rest of you, third, inshallah.
And the bara, when you say on the other object, you say that there is zakat on them. The difference is that it's not specified.
Uh-huh.
But I understand from what the scholar said that it's not, if you don't even give anything, you're not held accountable for it. But
okay.
If you want,
okay.
To share nearest to Allah.
Okay.
You can give.
This is a point that we didn't get to today. That I was going to clarify today, but we ran out of time. This is a point that we ran out of time on. This is a point. Okay. This is an important point that he is making now. Very important point. He understands that some scholars are saying, yani the minority scholars, not the majority, the minority scholars are saying that since there's no stipulation, regulation requiring how much to give, they're saying then there's no zakat on other wealth. They're not really saying that though. They're not saying that. I wanted to clarify that today, but I didn't get a chance to clarify that. But rather what they're saying, I alluded to in the beginning because I wanted to clarify this point in case we didn't get to it. I alluded to in the beginning that the ayat, the general ayat that Shaykh Uthaymeen mentioned here, that the people are required to give sadaqah, to give zakat. This is a right that's well known for the people who are needy or the people who are deprived. That this is a general ruling of giving zakat. It's not subject to specification, but that is a proof that you do have to give some kind of zakat. But it's not, how much you have to give, it's not obligatory to give a certain amount. But it is obligatory to give zakat. That ayat and other evidences are proofs that you do have to give zakat on your wealth. Whoever has wealth beyond what they need, they have to give something from it to the poor.
Even the last point you mentioned is that you have to give on those four categories, but the other one is up to you. That's what even what I understand.
It's up to you, yani, to give how much you want to give. Not up to you, you don't have to give anything. If you don't give anything, then this ayat is a proof against you because Allah said it, حَقٌ مَعْلُومٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ.
حَقٌ to what is...
A right.
No, a right on what is...
Ah, specified. Not how much. But you have to give though. But how much you have to give is not obligatory. That's the point. That's the point, that you do have to give, but you're not obligated to give a certain amount.
Sheikh, the hakun on what is made, on those four categories, or three categories as
look, the hakun ma'alum is general. All wealth is subject to zakat. The amount you have to give, the rate, timing, nisab, all of that, in some types of wealth is specified in the sharia. We discussed those specifications. In other types of wealth is not specified. So there's no obligatory amount you have to give, but you have to give though. There's obligatory amount you have to give where in the type of wealth where the rate is specified as so many cows or so many camels or so many crop or so many gold, so much amount in gold or silver, whatever. So the one type of wealth, the specification of its amount and rate and manner came in the Sharia. That's obligatory to follow those rules, those stipulations. The all other wealth is not subject to specification, but they're subject to zakat in general, however much you want to give. Whenever you want to give it. Not after 1 year. You don't have to wait 1 year. You don't have to have a minimum nisab. You don't have to give a certain specific rate. But you have to give something.
Okay, Sheikh, since you're going to talk in the
That's
future,
the clarification of it.
You said you're going to talk about it in the future, right?
We would like to.
Yeah.
We would like to, inshallah.
Yeah. Since you're going to talk, maybe it's going to be more clear.
It will be more clear, inshallah. We're going to stop after this.
The people have a right. The people who are poor, they have a right in their wealth.
The people who are poor have a right.
And the Messenger of Allah, he was instructed to take the wealth so that the people's wealth can be purified.
So that the person first can be purified and their wealth also.
So don't you want your wealth purified?
Good. Naam. So the people who fear Allah, who have iman, who have taqwa, then they are going to give. And even the other people are going to give something. Any Muslim is going to give something. It's almost no rich person, I don't care how stingy they are, who they're going to give something. They might give a little, but they're going to give something. A stingy person gives something, but he's stingy. And he's looking in his pocket and see if he can find a dollar. He don't want to pull out a five or a ten. Listen, brothers, even the stingy person is going to give something. This person has no iman at all.
Sheikh, I'm not talking about like successes that are being stingy.
Was sadaqa burhan. The Prophet ﷺ said, was sadaqa burhan. Burhan of what? Of iman. Of iman.
I'm not saying that it's just like to proving that I'm being stingy, but just to be clear about this.
No, I understand. Look, I don't have any doubt about why you're asking. Okay? We don't have any problem with you asking. We understand why you're asking. You want clarity. And that's why we're entertaining the question, to try to bring clarity. And it's for no other reason except we want to be clear. These are the laws of Allah. We want them to be clear. That's why we're talking about the difference of opinion. That's why we're reading both sides of the issue. That's why we're examining the evidence of both sides, so we could be clear about this. We're not just trying to take one opinion and just say, this is our opinion, later for it. And maybe we have a different opinion, but we still have to present the other side and their evidences in full so that we'd be just. And then a person who fears Allah has to look at both views or many views and the evidence of each of them and try to determine in their heart, in front of Allah, what they believe to be the most correct and follow that. And on Yawm al-Qiyamah they will be free, even if they made the wrong decision. They'll be free because Allah knows that they tried to reach the correct decision and that they acted upon what they believed in their heart was right. Then you're free of blame. We are human beings. Allah is not going to hold you responsible for what you did by mistake or forgetfulness or under compulsion, as came in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.